Welcome back to the Frank Fontana Show right here on WGN Radio 720. And you can watch the show live on Instagram. Might pop on Facebook Live too. See what I'm feeling today. It's cold, it's snowy, but it's super. It's a super day. Right, Paul? Folks, I want you to say hi to this guy. He's a super talented furniture designer, just creative guy who's been in the game for quite some time because he remembers being a guest on my show almost 7 years ago, Paul Schumann.
Was it 7 years?
It had to be, man, at least, because I've been here for five, and I did 2 years prior to that on podcasting for Craftsman on Blog Talk. So, yeah, but you look good. You held up well, my friend.
Clean living.
Clean living. That's what it's all about, right?
That's right.
So what have you been up to, man?
Well, a lot of design stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of fun stuff. We've been doing a lot of, design projects, a lot of design build. Mostly residential, but a splash of commercial in there, too.
You're doing something the Gold Coast commercial.
We are.
Yeah.
We're doing a really, really fun project with Lance Lawson, who's over at Space 519.
Yep.
They're currently actually in a temporary space at the Bloomingdale's building. And we're moving them over to 200 East Chestnut.
Okay.
And they're going to do a whole... it's an amazing, amazing space. It's, I think, like 4,500 square feet or something. They're going to have a little cafe for like lunch and stuff
that.
It's really, really great. And they've been amazing to work with.
So when you say design build, you guys GC the projects as well?
For the residential projects, we do. For something like that, we didn't do that. There was another outfit that did that.
Do you like doing that part too? Do you like running the projects as well?
We do. We feel like it gives us more control over the whole project. One of the things that we think about a lot is that there is from the client's perspective, there's a lot of confusion about the whole effort.
Yes.
And any way that we can make that easier and more comfortable for the clients, the better. And when it's the same people doing the design and checking in with them throughout the process.
Yeah.
And making sure that the carpenters get there on time and making sure that the tile is laid out right. It gives them a level of comfort, you know, to...
Let's just face it, Paul. You like cracking the whip.
Yeah.
That's really what it comes down to.
I'd love to deny it, but...
I'd love to deny it, but I like to crack the whip.
Well, we like to... You know, it's like... I just learned, apparently, in the green room that as a Scorpio, I've got some control issues, apparently. But we... do at large try to control the process.
Like, sure.
You know, I think that a lot of people complain about, things going awry and they don't know where things are at a different.
Well, I mean, listen, you have human error, which, you know, if you're hiring a carpenter, you're hiring an electrician, you're hiring a plumber, they might have an off day. You know, right. they might put a wire in the wrong place and, God willing, that doesn't happen. But, you got to account for that with a project.
Yeah.
How do you vet your guys to make sure that you're getting the best in terms of your
trades? You mean the trades? Well, we've been actually really, really lucky in that oftentimes we get referrals from other people that we know in the industry.
Yeah.
Or have seen their work on smaller projects and then that blossoms.
Recruit them.
That's right. Well, yeah. You know, invariably things happen where guys flake and bail. And so you find...
Happens
you,
all the
that's
time.
That's right. And then you put an APB out for a new electrician, say.
Yeah.
They help you with a small project. You got another project and you grow a little trust and there you go.
So, Paul, let's take it back to the humble beginnings. How did you get into the creative space and in particular design?
Well, I sort of backed my way into it.
And you laughed when I said humble.
Yes.
Is there nothing humble about your beginnings?
No. Very humble. Very humble. Yes. My background is in fine... I have a master's in fine art. And through that, I was doing like a lot of sculpture and constructing all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. And to make a super long story super short, I sort of found myself making custom furniture in Milwaukee. And...
it's coming back to me.
Yes, that's right.
The Milwaukee connection.
That's right.
When you went to go, you're going to school for fine art, and were your parents supportive of this?
Totally.
Did they ultimately think you'd be doing what you're doing today?
No.
What did they think?
I don't think they thought that far.
They just thought, there's my kid. He's drawing on some canvases. God willing, something will come from this.
I was very lucky. I had parents who just wanted me to be happy and do the stuff that I felt passionate about.
What a concept.
I know.
You hear that, parents listening out there? Support the arts, man.
Yeah. And so I was really lucky. And so they just sort of wanted me to find my own way.
Yeah.
And so I did that. And like I said, I was doing furniture in Milwaukee and then moved down here and then really started doing more design work and did furniture for a while, but really ultimately,
are you moving away from furniture?
Well, we do a lot of custom furniture, but that's really not our focus.
Yeah.
And because I have such a long history and so much experience in millwork and furniture, it just always, as well as in construction, it always, you know, informs the decision, the design decisions we make, which, as you know, is super helpful.
Totally. And folks, just in case you're wondering, when a designer mentions millwork, just reach into your pocket and start dishing it out, because that means you're making custom moldings, you're making custom trim.
Not true, though. When I think of millwork, that is not true.
Not with your connections, it is.
Well, I mean, I think about millwork as being anything from kitchen cabinets to casing around doors and windows, and it's not always custom. You don't always have to do amazing custom, get custom knives cut for everything.
Yeah, I guess I'm thinking of, like, you know, because I live in a 100-year-old Victorian, and when we talk millwork, we're talking about recreating baseboards from the 1920s,
right?
Which don't exist most of the time,
right?
So now you're hiring, you know, you're getting out there, you know, you have to pay for the knives and all that kind of stuff, and you know, this is
right.
You know. But so that's my frame of reference when I think of millwork.
But I think that is millwork. But it is also, when I think about millwork, I think of it in such a generic umbrella term that it also speaks to cabinets that you get from Home Depot and, you know, moldings and baseboard. Oh, hello to outside people.
Braving the storm out there, folks. How you doing? Got some fans out the window just waving, standing out of the way of the snow. Hey, be careful out there. That sidewalk is really slippery. I almost busted my ass out there. True story. I caught ice skating on the sidewalk, and Dean was on the air, and I was just waiting for Dean to call me out because I was like fumbling across the window like a little show here. Hey, so Paul, was there ever a second in your climb to your success where you're like, is this really going to pay off for me? Like, am I doing the right thing?
Second? Minutes, hours?
Days?
Many.
What keeps you on track?
I'm unhirable otherwise.
I'll be unemployed.
That's right. It's binary. It's either this or God only, like, I have no idea what I would. No.
So you wouldn't take a banking job?
I don't think they would hire me.
No.
I don't think I'm hireable for that. No, I think that, you know, it's easy to have self-doubt no matter what you're doing.
Sure.
When you're not where you want to be.
But it's also feel like it's... we're not so much in a conservative industry, you and I.
True.
We're a kind of a luxury item, I would say, for some. For the average, you know, person, they don't really go out and hire designers. So I think your niche gets a bit smaller.
True. Except for, I think, certainly for us, we do enough design build that, you know, if people need a new kitchen, they need a new kitchen.
Sure.
Now, there are cheaper ways to get the new kitchen than we are. They probably won't get the service. They won't probably get the quality that we'll provide. Not just on the millwork side, if I may use that. But I think that, you know, it's sort of like, this is what I do.
Yeah.
So I got to figure out how to
do it right.
That's right. And make it work.
Yeah, man. And you're killing it so far, man. You're being named best custom furniture maker by Chicago Magazine. Selected one of 10 men to watch by Chicago Social. If you ever hop onto my Facebook or Instagram, you could see these little mini shows we do. And they're really cool. They're kind of a behind the scenes of what we do here in the studio. Only shorter, sweeter, and you get a different side of my guests. So it's fun. We do this real quick in between. We'll finish that up when we're done here. So we're talking to Paul Schumann. Paul, talk to me about your style. Like, do you have one particular style that you go to and gravitate towards?
You know, it's something that people ask all the time, and I always have a hard time with it, because if you looked at the projects that we do and that we really sort of hit out of the park, I think some of them look really modern and some of them look really traditional.
Mm.
And to me, I think there definitely is an aesthetic cord that runs through them, but I don't know that it is... stylistic that way. I think it's based on other things. It's based on proportion and scale and you know, the way we approach a space and lay it out and stuff like that.
How about you personally, though? Like, if you were to design your own place, where does your style gravitate to personally?
I unfortunately, I sort of think it's the same answer. I mean, like, my house is an early 1900s two flat in Andersonville that we converted into a single family. And we made the house, the building itself, we tried to make adhere to the spirit of the space itself, the original space. So we sort of added moldings that we thought were coherent, just like apparently in your house.
allegedly. Yes. Yeah,
allegedly.
Yes.
But the furniture is really modern, is much more, sort of has a little bit more of a mid-century modern cue to it. All very sort of like a lot of warm colors and very hospitable. I don't know that that answers your question.
Kind of. I mean, it sounds like you're eclectic. You're a good mix of your style.
Yeah, I think about it more like having design that's classic no matter what it is. So if we're doing a traditional space, I want to make sure that we're not making choices that are going to get, you know, data stamped 2018.
Mm-hmm.
We want everything to be sort of timeless in a way, and whether that's modern or traditional or transitional or wherever that fits on the paradigm.
Sure.
I mean, that's sort of the way we approach it.
Are you breaking any rules in the design this year? Are you kind of going against the grain of anything or trying to, at least?
I don't know in our design if we do. I think that when you're doing residential, it's a little bit hard to do that. And when commercial, it's a little bit easier. But you have to have certain kinds of clients who let you do that, as you well know.
Yes.
I think the thing that maybe a little more against the grain is the way we approach our jobs.
Talk to me about it. I like to hear processes.
Yeah. So we're about process. We love process. So, you know, for one of the examples of that is when we have new clients and we're putting together their project, we actually give them itemized, like detailed itemized budgets with everything on it. And we're really big into transparency and explaining.
You have to be.
Yeah, and explaining all of the little nuances to the client. And I don't think that that's the way the rest of the industry
works. No, it doesn't.
And so I think that's a bit against the grain. And that's something that I'm super, super passionate about. I really believe that there's a gap. There's a information or understanding gap about the way projects work.
I agree with you 100%.
And I feel like that's our pushback is against sort of the industry
the
as
old way.
Yeah, exactly. And we're sort of thinking like, how can we be helpful and constructive and
sure
transparent?
And see, I operate like that, and I find, I don't know if this is the same for you, that a lot of the subcontractors you work with don't operate that way. So the old school hammer swinging guys, they're so used to the old way of, like, you know, you gotta pad this and pad that, and, you know, like, don't show the client that, because, and I'm always like, just throw it out there. I mean, it is what it is. The number is what it is.
Yeah, you know? I think that that's true. I think also it becomes a challenge for us because we want, like, when we're bidding a job, we want everything itemized so that we can be transparent, and it's hard because they don't do it that way.
Sure. So you're just very clear on your fees then?
We're totally clear on our fees, totally upfront about everything, and we try to give the client information along the way so that they understand what the drivers are, because cost is such a big challenge for every project.
Yep.
No matter how much money you have and no matter how big or small the project is, everybody cares about what things cost.
Sure. Of course they do. What are your fees? Do you mind talking about that? I mean, does it vary per project? Is it a percentage of? Do you typically do a percentage of?
Are you offering me a contract?
I'm thinking about it.
We do. I mean, it sort of depends on what we're doing.
Yeah.
We, you know, for more decorative projects, if we're doing living rooms, bedrooms, and stuff like that, we go by the hour. And if we're doing jobs that are more design build and involve construction, then we add a percent, sort of much like an architect would or design,
sure,
any other design build firm.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as we buy merchandise, we have an administrative fee that we add to it. I mean, it's very comparable to what, you know, everybody else is doing.
Yes.
I think it's just our approach that's really not usual.
That's awesome. I like to hear that. What are you seeing? You brought some samples here in terms of trends in materials. What did you bring for us to play with here?
Oh, we're doing this amazing, amazingly fun little art studio in the Gold Coast, and you're really liking that chenille, aren't you?
I am loving this fabric.
It has a great hand, is what they call it.
Where are you using this?
That is going to be in like a little... we're calling it a bedroom, but it's more like a lounge area.
Yeah. The pre-bedroom, the warm-up area?
Actually, it's an art studio, so there's no... Even though it's a a space with two bedrooms, none of the space is actually going to be used as a bedroom. But there's going to be sort of like a day bed in one of the rooms so that the owner of the space...
Will this be the fabric on the day bed?
Yeah, actually, probably. The other one is just one that we're pitching.
I dig it, man. Yeah. I like it. And then you're contrasting it with the...
Yeah, just a little something, something.
A little something, something, man. Yeah. So you work with your wife?
I do not.
You don't?
No.
That's
she is a brilliant lawyer trying to make the world a better place.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Separate lives like that.
I'm telling you.
No. It's okay. I work with my wife. We did a whole design show together. It's fun. It's challenging is probably the operable word, but fun too. I had the whole family. I had the kids. I had everybody in this whole thing.
If you can make that work, living the dream.
It wasn't easy. I'm not going to lie. But we did it. And it was a great experience for our memory book.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, our kids now have an eight series documentation of their life for, you know, 1 year that was on national television.
And you know what? Keep those pictures, because my mother-in-law was a pretty well-known TV producer in Chicago, and she had a show when my wife was really young. And some of those pictures are just priceless.
Some of the best.
Totally. Totally, yeah. Great. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So what does this mean when we talk about the Men to Watch by Chicago Social? What has that done for your ego? I mean, I was going to say career, but your ego? Yeah, why not?
I don't know that it's done that much.
Do you guys advertise a lot? Are you out there? I mean, are you doing a lot of social?
We're doing a lot of social. We're not really advertising so much. That's sort of not
How are you playing the social game? I'm just curious.
A lot of Instagram.
Yeah.
A bit of Facebook.
Yeah.
That's sort of our move.
Because you're a little shy. I can see yourself clearly. Not being, you know,
yes,
know. Comfortable on camera.
Retiring. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. That's good. Your current project in the Gold Coast, is it a restaurant? I was a little unclear.
No. So there's an arts. It's an art studio.
It's with a restaurant element to it, or
no,
a cafe.
That's space 519.
519.
That's a different thing.
Got you. Okay.
That's a totally different thing.
Okay. And you know, it's a good time to be in Chicago doing what we do, because Chicago is named the world's best city.
Of course.
Do you buy that with all this weather and coldness and trapped in your house for 6 months?
I'm originally from Boston. I'm one of these people who chose Chicago. I could have been anywhere. And I said, this is where I want to be.
If Chicago was in Miami, it would be awesome.
See, I would disagree with that. I think that the winter is a bit of a drag, but like spring, think about spring and fall. They don't have that in Miami.
Spring. But they have 80-degree year-round weather.
I know, but it sort of gets
boring. I kind
of
like
it. It gets boring after a while.
Well, Dave says they have hurricanes. I'll take an occasional hurricane.
Yeah, I have friends in L.A. who get cranky when it rains. I mean, do you really want to be like that? No.
I lived in L.A. for 10 years, my friend. I loved it. But listen, I love Chicago. Don't get me wrong. I'm here. I'm raising my family here. I love it. I just wish it was a little warmer. I wish, you know, we had a little bit longer of a summer. Two, 3 months isn't cutting it for a summer, man.
It's not that bad. It's not that bad. It's not that. Listen, pitchers and catchers report in like a week.
Okay.
So spring is coming.
All right. That piques my interest a little bit.
Yeah, see?
I'm a little excited about that.
There you go.
Paul, where can people find more information about you and your company and see your Instagram photos and all that?
We are on Instagram. We are on Facebook. Our website is paulshulman.com. Traditional spelling.
And if they went to Space 519, they'd see your handiwork?
They will when it opens. It's not
Which
open
will
yet.
Be opening in April?
I believe that's
right. That's what this article says. 5,000 square feet of ground level space at 200 East Chestnut.
Yes.
Right here in the Gold Coast.
Yeah.
Not too far from here. It looks pretty fancy from the little... Do you guys do the renderings as well?
We did not do the renderings.
Look at the architectural rendering, maybe. Yeah. Cool stuff.
Yeah.
Paul, thanks so much for coming on, man. It's good to catch up. And thanks for the tape measure, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Paul has these custom tape measures. Here, does it say I almost lost it already? Boom. There you have it. Paul Schumann Design right here. 25. What does the 25 stand for? 25 feet.
There you go.
I thought it was 25 years in business.
Not yet.
Not yet.
We should do a 17-foot one.
We should.
For 17.
See how the ideas just keep flying? Paul Schumann Design, appreciate it, man. Thanks so much for coming on the show. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Frank Fontana Show here on WGN Radio 720. We're going to shift gears a little bit here, you know, because a lot of food is going to be consumed in the next few hours here on Super Sunday. which, by the way, folks, I'd love to hear who you have to win today. Text in your favorite team, 312-981-7200. I'm going to put it out there. I'm going for Philly. I'm a fan of the underdogs. I'm an East Coast boy, born in New York, not too far from Philadelphia. I'm a big fan of Rocky Balboa and the filming of Rocky series in Philadelphia. So for that reason, I'm going with Philly. Although Tom Brady is cool and he has a hot wife, I don't know if that's enough reason to vote for the Patriots. Love to hear from you guys. 312-981-7200 is our text line. Text in. Dave, do any prizes we can give away, or you want to give a foot massage to anybody?
I can dig into the prize closet, see if there's anything for us.
Or a certificate for Dave Miranda to rub your feet for 15 minutes live on our show.
That's more like a torture, Frank.
More than torture. For you or them?
For both.
For both. All right. So, you know, it's no secret diabetes has taken America. And did you know that 1 in 10 Americans have diabetes? Do you know that number climbs to 1 out of 4 when they reach 65? I mean, it's insane. Joining me on the phone is Dr. Richard Gringieri. Doc, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Frank?
I'm doing well. Thanks for taking time on this Super Sunday to break away and talk to me about this really important topic. What I love about what you're doing is you're taking a completely natural approach to this, where a lot of docs will be sticking insulin and all sorts of medication to try to get people under control with their diabetes. Tell us about what you do.
Well, first of all, what you just said is really important, because when you talk to people about what causes diabetes, there's usually 4 or 5 things they'll tell you. But if you look in the medical research on diabetes, one of the primary problems that leads to diabetes is exposure to toxic chemicals, medications, pesticides, etc. So if you take a patient who has been exposed to a toxic chemical and now their body's not working properly, so it's not processing their sugar very well, and then you treat them with more toxic chemicals, you're guaranteed to make them worse. And all medications are toxic chemicals, unfortunately.
So hold on here, Doc. Are you saying, so give us an example when you say a toxic exposure, the initial toxic exposure. Like, when you, what are you thinking in when you say that?
Well, not a particular toxic exposure necessarily, but over the course of our lives, most of us eat a lot of foods with pesticides on them. We take medications that have, that are to some degree toxic. All medications are to some degree toxic. And what has been shown in many, many, many studies now is that the higher the level of toxic chemicals in your tissues, the more likely you are to have diabetes. In fact, one study showed that you're 40 times more likely to have diabetes as those chemical levels go higher. This has not been told to the American people. It's in the medical literature, but it is very important. And that is why the current medical approach is destined to fail. Everyone who goes on these medications tends to get worse unless they're doing tremendous changes with diet and lifestyle.
So is it a false notion to think that sugar is the evil enemy of diabetes? Is it, because that's what you were grown up to think, is, you know, the advertising was all about sugar and sugar and sugar. Is it true?
No, it isn't a false notion that sugar is the enemy, because it is. Diabetics have a hard time processing sugar, but it's probably not only because of the sugar consumption that they've had. A big component of why they can't process the sugar is that the body, it appears that as the body becomes more and more toxic, the nerve system and the endocrine system, specifically the pancreas, begin to struggle, and they are unable to do the functions they're supposed to do, and that's what diabetes is.
And is it hereditary?
Well, you know, I think that certain people have more of a tendency to develop diabetes because of heredity, but I don't believe heredity is the cause. It appears, again, from reading medical literature, if you go into the New England Journal of Medicine and the diabetes journals, you'll see that toxicity seems to be the number one underlying factor for the development of diabetes.
And toxicity then leads to inflammation, right? So now you're on a full body inflammatory response to the toxicity on an ongoing basis, correct?
Absolutely correct.
Thus, if, like you're saying, if the DNA lines up and you're predetermined for diabetes, would it, would then inflict the diabetes? Is that kind of right?
Yes. You know, we have a number of things that will predispose us to diabetes. Being inactive, being obese, poor diet, genetics. I mean, there are four or five major things. And when you couple that with being exposed to toxins, and by the way, the word toxin, we talk about toxins in our foods. Toxins mean poisons. When we swallow poisons, poisons kill you. So they kill you slowly because we don't swallow enough to kill us all at once. But when you couple those predisposing factors with toxic chemicals, you're in trouble.
So how could we cure diabetes naturally then?
Well, one of the first things that I teach my patients is that they have to, first of all, find out what do they digest well and what don't they digest well. So we have a couple of different methods that we use to evaluate someone's digestive system and try to get them eating more of what they digest well and less of what they don't digest well. Then we work to eliminate or reduce the toxicity. Your kidneys and your liver are your detoxification organs, and if you support detoxification, your body will start to heal up a little bit. If you keep adding more medication, which is more toxins, you'll slowly get worse and worse. So getting the body, getting the digestive system working, reducing toxicity, and then we have our program is called the Human Engine Approach to Treatment because we treat the body as an engine, and the goal is to improve nutrition, and that's the fuel component, to improve oxygenation of your tissues, and you do that through exercise and actually chiropractic adjustments of the rib cage can help to increase your ability to oxygenate your blood. And the spark comes from the nerve system, so we want to get the nerve system working. We do that with exercise, and chiropractic treatment will help in that area as well.
Doc, I got some text coming in. One of the texters from the 708, is there a correlation between the flu and diabetes?
You know, I don't have the answer to that. I don't know if that is probable or not, although what I will tell you is that when people have excess sugar in their bloodstream, that's what these pathogens live on, is sugar. So I would expect that it would increase the tendency toward the flu, although I don't have any study that I've read that says that.
So, you know, I do believe, you know, because I actually was for years saw a DO who was a chiropractor, and he believed heavily in adjustments related to illnesses, and I would go get adjusted, and I would feel better. I mean, it's pretty amazing.
Yes. You know, studies from years past have shown that just adjusting the thoracic spine, the rib cage area, by the way, increases for quite a number of hours afterwards the immune response. So chiropractic adjustments do help, but an overall healthy lifestyle is what's needed to help you avoid the flu. But also, that is one of the key factors in avoiding diabetes.
Sounds good, Doc. Where can people find more information? You have a book out, correct?
Well, I have a book called The Owner's Manual for Your Human Engine, Three Steps to Wellness, I believe. And that's on, I think they can get that on Amazon for about $2.99. It's just a little kind of a intro to our approach to treatment. I will have a book coming out on diabetes in the next 3 to 6 months. And they can contact us at our website, humanenginedoctor.com or humanengineclinic.com, and get on the waiting list for that book. When it comes, we'll notify them where they can get it, or they can order it through us.
Doc, thanks so much for your time, and have yourself a super Sunday.
Frank, thank you, and have a great Super Bowl.
I will, buddy. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll do some news. So we got no commercials here, Dave? Awesome. We can kill a little time. Well, Ann Nordhaus is standing by on the mic. Hey, Ann, how are you?
I'm great. So delighted to be here.
What say you on this diabetes topic?
Oh, goodness me. Well, I am a firm believer in chiropractic and natural lifestyle. As you know, I'm completely veg. No dairy, no meat, no
That was
going to
be
no
my
eggs.
Next question was, what is his thoughts on plant-based diet? But he had a
Right.
Cut them short a little bit.
Right.
Because I do believe that's a huge proponent. You know, a lot of people do paleo as well.
Yeah.
You know, just staying away from the, you know, the glycemic carbs, like the white sugars and the white carbs, and you know, just eating more like the oranges and the browns.
Right.
Seems to help too. But interesting facts. I mean, I do believe you can cure naturally.
Prevention.
Prevention is everything.
And the more vegetables and fruit you get in, my goodness, all those vitamins, they just really super fortify you.